Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Tony Gittins, director of the Washington, D.C. International Film Festival.
AKA FilmFest DC. It'll be coming April 19th through the 30th. And thanks so much, Tony. It is an annual, it's an annual joy to get to talk to you.
Same here, same here. When I know I'm being interviewed by you, I know it's time to start taking this seriously and start going at it and making sure that it's as great as you and I talk about it. So we always appreciate talking to you.
That's great. Yeah, you look at your calendar and I'm like, oh, got to bring the A game today.
That's it. That's it.
I want to get into the lineup in a second, but what year are we in now? And, you know, how's it grown? Any changes this year? You know, what's like the big overview stuff?
This is our 37th year, which is amazing, but it doesn't seem that long, you know, because each festival is different. The content is always different. That's one thing that keeps me at it for so long. We finish this year and go on to next year. It's going to be very much different than this year, and this year is different than last year. So it's our 37th year, and we're coming, the city is coming out of COVID and all that meant. And we knew in this post-COVID world that we had to do some new things to keep people interested in what we're doing, and we don't want them to get bored. So we've added a few new things to the festival.
And what do you want to go into some of the things that make it a little different this year, or different or different venues? I mean, I know you used to do it at Mazza Gallery, and it's not even there anymore.
Mazza Gallery is gone. The world has changed, and therefore we have to change with it. So we've added a few things. And one point that we wanted to make this year is the relevance of the festival outside of the walls of the movie theater. Mm-hmm. We're very much a Washington, D.C. event. Some people say we're a tradition, that we are very much into Washington, D.C. So, for example, we're having our opening night film at the Embassy of France. We're showing a film called Chevalier, and it's a film about a young man who gets involved with playing the violin and becomes a famous historical person in France. So when I saw this film, I wanted to have DC high school kids see this film. We thought that it would be inspirational. So one of the new things we're doing is we're getting buses, and we're working with an organization here in DC, and they're getting us some high school students, and we're taking these kids to the Embassy of France to see this film on a Wednesday morning. And we think not only would they enjoy the film, but I wanted to encourage young people to feel comfortable in embassies, that they can go into embassies and other cultural institutions that may not be in their neighborhoods and feel very comfortable knowing they could be there, enjoy it, and turn around and leave and go home. So that's one of the new things we're doing. We're also doing I watched the film Coda, which was a film that won an Academy Award a couple of years ago, and it's about a deaf family. And oh, yeah. I was just so moved by the film that we're also doing.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, we're doing a program for the hard of hearing deaf community. It's a film called Tuba Thieves. And this is a film by deaf people for people who are hard of hearing. It was a big hit at Sundance. And we're bringing in the film, we're bringing in the director, we're bringing in some special people who know more about this than I do, who are helping us shape the film, the program, and help inform the audience in DC who might be interested in it, that we're doing it. We're also working with our friends at Politics and Prose. Partnerships are very important to us. And Politics and Prose is creating a reading list around the films in the film festival, which is great. That, you know, they're looking at our themes and they're finding books in their collection. And then they're creating a table at their bookstore for people to come in and take a look at these books. And it's sort of a way of us getting people, them finding the film audience and us finding the literary audience, all of whom are good people who want to learn things and experience different cultures. And we're also taking films to schools. We're taking films and filmmakers to DC public schools. We've been doing this for a while, and it really exposes the kids to films they normally wouldn't see, and the filmmakers love it. They love it. You know, they're from all over the world, and they love it because they don't speak to this kind of audience. You know, they're not used to this, and they all love it, and they moved, and they're all energized by these kids who are asking these great questions. And I'll just hit one more thing, because then I can go on and on.
No, it's real quick. Before you do that, I want to ask you about the school thing really quick. Are they, you said you're bringing the filmmakers in. Do they screen it in the gymnasium or something, or in classrooms, or how does it work?
We get links to the films, and we send them to the teachers. We have a group of schools and teachers that we work with. We work with a group called Teaching for Change. And they send the film to the teachers so that before the filmmakers even show up. So they see the films, they discuss the themes of the films in the class, and then the filmmakers show up few days later. And so when the filmmakers, the kids have already formulated their questions, and they have these great conversations, raising questions that, again, the filmmakers don't get when they're just speaking in front of an adult audience. So that's how we do it, and it's been successful.
Great.
We've had to turn away schools. We had like 40 requests, and there's no way in the world we could do that. Wow. But, that's what we do, man. You know, we don't just show the films. People think that that's important, significant, big part, probably the biggest part of what we do, but we do so much more. We do so much more.
Cool. Anyway, before I asked to follow up about the school, you said there was something else you said there's one other thing you wanted to mention?
Yes, this year we're also doing something called Film Fest DC on TV. So WETA, which is the local public broadcasting television station here in DC, and they'll be showing some shorts from that have been shown in the festival in past years, and they'll be broadcasting them several times between now and the end of the festival. Then WHUT, which is the Howard University public television station, and they'll also be broadcasting films. They'll be broadcasting some films from our section. We call it Global Rhythms. It's our music on film section. So mm-hmm. they're going to be showing three films that are also included in this year's festival. So, you know, we're spreading out. We're partnering with like-minded groups. We're reaching new audiences, we hope. And there's one other thing we're doing is for people 25 years and under, we're giving them a discount. So if they want to see a film and they're willing to stand on the rush line, in other words, they have to wait until everybody else goes in who's purchased a ticket, we'll sell them a ticket for $5 to go in and see the film. And we're hoping this is going to attract some young people who may not have the wherewithal to see as many films in the festival as they would like. But, you know, we want them to come and let them know that we're thinking about them and want them as part of our family as well.
Wow. So this is, this is actually, I'm actually liking this better than I ask you, you know, say a genre category and you gave me some highlights and it's fun. It all works. But like, I'm almost thinking this year's story can be sort of like how Film Fest DC is expanding out from just a traditional film fest. And we can say, you know, you're going into schools, you're going to the embassies, you know what I mean? The deaf and hard of hearing screening. Like, I think maybe I can sort of play up those angles more this year, I think.
I think, you know, we want people can find out about our films going to the website, filmfestdc.org.
Sure.
We want this year for people to sort of understand what Film Fest DC is and how we are different from other film festivals, to somewhat distinguish ourselves. And really the heart of what we do is these other things. You know, that's what sort of motivated me to be involved with the film festival, because the films are one way to attract an audience and to present themes and ideas, to give people exposure to cultures and problems they hadn't known, to have them enjoy, to see how the other world laughs. That's why we have this comedy section. But we also want to serve people. We want to make a difference in the city. You know, we want people not only to come and watch the films, but when they walk out, that they can take a little something special. And this is the last thing I'll say on this, okay?
But say as much as you want.
Well, look, a couple of years we've gone hybrid and we've done virtual. In other words, we've shown films on people can watch on their laptop or on their television, and they don't at home, and they don't have to come to the movie theaters. And we did that because we had to do that. I mean, COVID created an environment where that was the safest way for a lot of people to see the films. That's not the case anymore. And we're not a streaming film festival. You know, we're a festival for people to come and get together to see the film with somebody else in the audience and share the film experience with someone else that you might not know, and walk out of the theater and be with people, you know, be with people and chat and be out into the city. And that's what we're about. That's what our festival is about.
And where are most of the screening, like the in-person screenings that you're talking about? Is it E Street, or where are the actual screenings?
This year, almost all of our screenings are at Landmark E Street Cinema on 11th and E Streets Northwest. We've rented, I think we have four screens there that'll be going, showing films.
That's great. In addition to all the other special, you know, traveling things you already mentioned at the
NBA stuff.
So, wow, that's
yes, awesome. They happen while the films are going on and during the day. People wonder what we do during the day. We do this kind of stuff.
That's great.
During the day.
Well yeah, I'll definitely, you know, I'll definitely make sure everyone knows to go down to E Street for the movies as always. But if it's okay with you, I'm starting to sort of sense in a different angle this year of kind of talking about how the festival is, you know, expanding out and doing, you know, more than just a traditional festival, going to all these different places.
Yes, that goes to our mission, goes to our purpose, goes to our heart. That's what we have been doing some of this before and not emphasizing it and realize we should. But a lot of this is new stuff. When we looked at what we needed to do, you know, a city coming out of a pandemic is always going to have a little something pulling at it. And you know, so we want to cheer people up. You know, we want them to know that we're here to serve. We're here to help people, and film is one way, and going and being with them is another way.
I love it. So that'll be my main angle, but I guess just before we bow out here, just could I get a soundbite about the opening night and the closing night movies, Chevalier and Blackberry, just as movies themselves, you know, why you thought they were such great films? I mean, I know you had the embassy tie-in and stuff. We got a soundbite on that, but just as a movie, why is Chevalier great to kick off, and why is Blackberry great to close it out?
Yes, Chevalier is our opening night film this year. I saw it at another film festival and really liked it. We picked it because we thought it touched on a number of themes. It's a film. It's a fun film. It's an adventurous film. It's also a love story is involved, but it's about this young boy who is the son of a white slave master and an African-American woman who was a slave. I think they're from Guadeloupe, and they live on the plantation. But the slave master finds that this boy has this incredible talent playing the violin. This is set just before the French Revolution, so it's some time ago.
Like Marie Antoinette time, right?
Yes, yeah, well, she's in the film. You must have seen it. Marie Antoinette plays an important role in this boy's life, and it's about his rise and his fall and his understanding of who he actually is as a person in this circumstance. And the music is great. The actor is great. The whole drama, it has all kinds. It has sword fighting in it for those who like that kind of stuff. And so we thought that we would open up with this film because we thought it was fun. And
yeah, we just interviewed Samara Weaving about it. So it'll be really, I think I'll hold off until it comes out to run that one. But this will be a little sneak peek at Film Fest DC.
Yes, yes. And it'll be at the Embassy of France, which is a special place with a reception before the film. And it's our friends at the Embassy, we're always happy to work with them.
And it's Kelvin Harrison Jr., we should say, plays the title role. And he was so good in Waves and Loose and so many roles. All right. Well, what about Closing Night?
Closing Night, we're again trying something a little different. We are going to have a show film called Blackberry. And then following Blackberry, we're having a party at they call nightclubs anymore. It's not a restaurant. It's not a bar. But it's a wonderful place, a gathering place. It's called Penn Social. It's on 11th and E Street, so people just have to walk down a couple of blocks.
It's right near the sports arena.
Yes, right near the sports arena. And it's a good place. It has these televisions and screens all over the place. And we're going to play some music so people could dance if they wish. And so, again, you know, we're hoping to attract some people who normally wouldn't find the film festival in their going out guide, but I think that they're going to enjoy it. This film, Blackberry, it takes us, when I saw the film, I said, damn, you know, that wasn't so long ago, but it seemed like a long time ago. The Blackberry, well, from this Canadian company, these young guys solved the problem of how to have a portable telephone that made some sense, that worked. And they started this company, and the BlackBerry took off. And I had one, and a lot of the people in my work environment had one, and they were doing fine. And the thing is that they were young and they were innocent, just very, very smart. They found some business leadership, but that sort of fit some way in their lifestyle and not. But you find the rise and the fall of this, and then the iPhone came out, and wow, what do you do? What do you do? So it's this great story. The director, Matt Johnson, will be coming in to talk about that time. It's very funny. Some of the stuff is just very hilarious. Can't help but laughing. And it's a true story. So we thought.
Is it a documentary, or is it like Social Network was the Facebook? You know what I mean?
Yes, it is. It's a feature film with actors and actresses. Not too many women are in it, and I think about it. You know, with a script and characters galore. It's not a boring tech kind of thing. It's a funny story and a sad story in some way, because innocence gets crushed. But it's we think it's a modern story. You know, these tech companies, they come and go. And BlackBerry, you say BlackBerry, oh yes, I had one, but it seems like so long ago. Nobody's carrying those anymore.
Right. Well, that sounds fascinating. If anyone likes I thought The Social Network was fantastic. So it seems like similar vein. Or what did I just watch? Oh, the movie about the making of Tetris. It's funny how they make, you know, these tech things, video games, social media, in this case, cell phone, they make a gripping narrative story out of it. It's cool when they do that.
Well, the other thing I found interesting in watching it is that it was like almost only in America,
right?
You don't find this in a French company. Not that I don't know. All right, so I'm not an expert here, but I've never heard the story about a French company. This was a Canadian company. I take back what I was saying.
Right. But only in America and Canada.
And Canada, right? You get this. I think only in democracies is one way to look at it. Because you get people who feel free to experiment and try things, and they're encouraged, you know, they're encouraged and they're motivated to do it. And they, if they're successful, they do financially very well. But because only it's a democracy, somebody else comes up with something better and you're gone, you know? So
the entrepreneurial spirit. I love
that's
it.
That's it.
Well, you have demonstrated that with this festival over the years, continually reinventing it. And so we're lucky to have you here in DC, Tony. We always appreciate talking with you.
I love the city, and it's always good talking to you, Jason.
Plenty more highlights on the website. It's filmfestdc.org, 37th annual. It'll be running April 19th through the 30th at East Street Cinema. And of course, all the great, you know, events you told us about around town. So, hey, Tony, thank you so much.
Take care.